Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Joel chapter 1, we were talking about preachers that wrest the word to make it mean what their people want to hear and makes them feel good. Well, have your pencil and paper ready and take some notes on this today. Corn, if it's good, it nourishes. It's good for cattle, as well as for people. But if not, we have the effect of Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Corrupting the word leads to a spiritual famine in the land. That is why this broadcast, as well as Central Baptist Church, we use only the King James Bible, 1611, because it was translated from the right manuscripts, the Textus Receptus of the New Testament, the Masoretic of the Old. And again, there are people with many letters after their names that will make fun of that. But the fruit is like the withered corn that it produces. Worldly, fleshly, but starving. The new nature, starving the spirit of men. So there's a famine. The word is not present. They're not hearing the word. Preachers aren't preaching the word. They're leaving things out when they do try to preach the word. They only name parts of sin, but not call it what it is. They don't call to repent. Like Satan, they only use some of the word and they wrest the scripture to try to make it mean something else that satisfies and justifies the flesh. John 16, we read there in verses 8 through 11 that the Holy Spirit would do a few things there in this world when he would come, and he did come. This is what he does. First of all, he convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. Now, of sin, because we've got to see that we're sinners, that we need a Savior. But for Christians, they need to see sin in their life that makes them saved so as by fire instead of hearing a well-done, good, faithful servant. Of righteousness tells people what they ought to be and ought to do, and they see they lack and they don't deserve heaven, they can be saved. Where for the Christian, it shows them what he ought to be doing in his life. And there's that conviction of judgment to come. The unsaved man appears at the great white throne and he's cast forever into the eternal lake of fire, whereas the saved man at the judgment seat of Christ, some are saved so as by fire, while others are hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. Which are you? See, there are people today that call us negative. Well, 8 out of the 10 commandments are negatives. As a matter of fact, even the other two, obey your parents. In this world today, obeying your parents is negative. And being faithful to the Sabbath day, well, they want to go to the beaches. They want to watch their ball games. They want to do everything else. If the Super Bowl's on, they're going to stay home, watch it, or you're going to have the really, really most deceitful straight out of hell philosophy that says, hey, we'll watch the football game at church. Boy, that really pleases God. We're going to put the flesh right here in our auditorium. How filthy and how low can a church go? And pastor, your church is doing that and you're the pastor. You're going to give an account to God. And I hope that you know that. And I'm not condemning you because I can't. God condemns. And if you don't believe what I just said, I'm not the one that condemns. You're condemned already. And you need to get that thing right with God, because you're leading people in a wrong direction that's going to see their grandchildren and great-grandchildren in hell, if not even their children. Don't forget, we're to keep the Lord's house and the Lord's day holy. We don't see that Jesus Christ, in his ministry on earth, went in and cleared out a house of prostitution. He did not clear out a house of homosexuality. He didn't even go into a house of alcohol and clear it out, but he did go into the temple twice and clean it up. He overturned the tables and things of that nature. Tells you how important the holiness of God's house is to him. And so today we are filled, we see a modern church, a modern day local church that is filled with empty people. They can't come in empty, and they leave empty. Only now they have a gate that prevents anything good from coming in. But that was predicted in the New Testament before the day of the Lord begins, and it was also predicted for Israel, and that's what Joel's about. Here's a chastening that hopes they will return. But today, there are people who are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That was true in Joel's day, and that's what we're seeing the result of happening today as well. So, see the result when we continue to sleep in verse 18, that is, we continue to sleep spiritually. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. We read in Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, you remember that, how they went from place to place, but there's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Beasts are most often represented as unsaved in the Bible. The justness of God in verse 15 of destruction is because we play church. And God proved to them back then and to us today that their religion was wrapped in materialism. So God removed the material. Therefore, when the material is removed, their joy vanishes with their prosperity. The beast and the rest of the world are affected when God starts with us first. The cattle are perplexed. The idea of the word perplexed has the idea of a problem with no solution. There's no way out. The locusts have devoured all there is to be devoured. Oh, my goodness. Churches across this land, if we don't repent, what's going to happen to our land? I'm concerned not only for our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I'm concerned for missions, because we're one of the main countries sending missionaries into the world. Now we're sending out missionaries going over to teach rock and roll, false doctrines from the Bible and other things like that, that it's just terrible. The cattle here seem to be the laity in this verse. They should be led to green pastures of God's Word. Instead, the gospel was turned into lasciviousness. As Jude 4 tells us, turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Anything goes. Hey, we have liberty to do this. We have liberty to do that. And that's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness when you give liberty to the flesh instead of liberty to the spirit to be freed from the power of the flesh. So they don't understand why this has happened. And what are they to do? It's really simple. Get right with God. But you see, the failure started in the pulpit. It started in the pulpit of their way from what we read of the false prophets, and it's that way today. The failure is when, at such a time, we should be preachers and teachers. We need someone to teach us what be the first oracles of God, as Hebrews, we said earlier, teaches in chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. The flocks of sheep are made desolate. They can only go where a shepherd leads. But there is no place to lead. They become scattered on the mountains. And they are caught away in every new wind and wave of doctrine. And technology begins replacing personal witness with cells and impressing techniques. Now, in that day, this is how the other religions do it. As Aaron's sons trying to place incense on the altar that they thought was better than what God prescribed, and God had to send fire on them. They didn't do it God's way. And they thought they could improve the incense. But it was to please them, not God. Now we see, the only way to wake is with prayer. Again, look at verses 19-20 of Joel 1. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee. For the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Well, the word is not only referred to as seed in Scripture, but it's also water. And that is why we see a drought. See, storming against sin has not happened. Therefore, the pastures do not produce good fruit. What devours the pastures of the wilderness? Because the sheep and the cattle were under the farmer's care. The fire, God's judgment, that devoured the pastures of the wilderness. And now, what can they do? The beast, the unsaved. This is where missions comes in. If we aren't feeding the sheep and cattle soon, there'll be no one to take the gospel to the world.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will